The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I invite the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. Pastor Tim just read us some verses out of the Bible that we call the Beatitudes. Most of the verses started with the word blessed. Another name for blessed is happy. Have any of y'all ever been happy? What do we do? How do we show that we're happy? What do we do? What might we do? Smile. What else might we do? A hug shows you're happy. Or we might laugh or giggle, right? That shows we're happy. What do you think a puppy would do to show that he was happy?
Bark,
right?
Jump on you, mm-hmm. Play with you.
What might he do with his tail? He would wag his tail, yes. That would show that puppy's happy. I heard a story about a puppy that noticed whenever he was happy, his tail wagged. So he thought he had found the secret to happiness. One day he shared the secret of happiness with an older dog. He said, "I have learned that the best thing for a dog is happiness, and that happiness is in my tail. So I'm going to chase my tail, and when I catch it, I shall have happiness." Do you think that puppy could catch his tail?
No,
I don't think so. So the older dog said, "I too believe that happiness is a great thing for a dog, and that happiness is in my tail. But I have noticed that when I chase it, my tail keeps running away from me. But when I go about my business and just walk down the road, it follows me wherever I go." The Bible has a lot to say about being happy. It does not say happier those who have a lot of toys, or happier those who have a lot of money, or happier those who only have good things happen to them. What the Bible does say is that happier those who are peaceful and try to stop others from fighting, happier those who are kind and forgiving to others. The Bible also says, "Happy is he who trusts in the Lord." Many of us are like that puppy, just chasing his tail, trying to find true happiness that is always just out of our reach. We can't grab it. What we need to do is learn that if we just go about our business and trust in the Lord, happiness will follow us wherever we go. Can y'all fold your hands? Dear Lord, help us to place our trust in you so that we may experience the happiness that only you can bring. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all can go back, but I've got something for you to take with you.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you stop and think about it, Christianity a lot of times just doesn't make much sense. It seems to be off to a certain extent. I mean, For instance, as we look at that gospel lesson this morning, our Lord and Savior says things like, "Blessed are those who mourn." Well, if you are mourning, you are not very happy. I don't think you feel blessed. Or, "Blessed are those who are being persecuted for righteousness' sake." Isn't that just the opposite? If you're persecuted, you certainly don't feel blessed. Jesus says things like that, and sometimes it just does not jive with our society. Our society says, "Look out for yourself. Be number one. Watch out for your family. Watch out for those who are close to you." But here Jesus is saying other things. In our second lesson, we looked at Paul as he writes to the Corinthians. The Corinth is there in Greece. And for the ancient Greeks, they revered the human body. And this whole message of Jesus Christ dying on the cross was unfathomable. It just didn't make any sense. As they revered the form of the human body and the beauty of the human body, that God, what kind of God is this that would send his son down into the world to have that body mutilated, to be tortured, to have the skin ripped off of his back, to have a crown of thorns be put on his head, and to be nailed in such a humiliating way on a cross for everyone to see. It just did not make any sense. It was foolishness, they thought. They could not understand that. It did not make any sense. But Paul writes that God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. Right after World War I, as London was digging out of the war, there was a young priest, an Anglican priest, who was assigned to his first parish. And his first parish was a pretty rough area. It was filled with the lower working class people that just barely made ends meet. There were many prostitutes in that area, and many people drank heavily. But he hit the ground running. This new parish priest hit the ground running. And he would find the needs of his parishioners and meet them as best as he could. He treated the prostitutes as actual people, as persons, and he knew them by the first name. There were many drunks that he pulled out of the gutter and found shelter for them. And soon, at worship, some of the undesirables started to trickle in. And later on, as he continued to work, they started to flood in, and worship was full. But he didn't stop there, even though his doctors told him to slow down. Because, see, he had asthma. And you can imagine what a disease like asthma in that day and time, when there was no cure and not much help, was like in London, with the chill, with the damp, with all the soot from the coal burning from the factories and from heating the homes. But one morning, this parish priest walked about 2 miles along the Thames River. He had purchased a pair of soft leather gloves out of his own money, and he was taking them to a parishioner who had badly burned his hands in a factory fire. The priest knew that if that worker was not able to show up to his job, he would be fired and his family would starve. And so he carried those gloves. He walked those 2 miles in that chill and in that damp and in that smog and in that smoke. Later that day, the priest died. Why did he do it? Why did he ignore the advice of his doctors? Why would he give of himself in that way? Why? What drove him to do those things? Is it foolishness? Maybe it was holy foolishness. In the 1970s, there was a teenage girl, 17 years old, who broke up with her boyfriend. Her boyfriend was not very happy about it. But fortunately for the girl, her family was going to go on vacation across the country in a few days. So the family left and went across country. But while the family was gone, their home burned down. The ex-boyfriend was suspected, but there was not enough evidence to arrest him. It was in the 70s. It was time before cell phones or email. And people of the community did not know exactly how to get a hold of that family. So one of the neighbors decided just to camp out on their lawn and wait for them. The neighbor felt that when they returned home, they should not have to face this disaster by themselves. And over the course of the next year, that neighbor and several other neighbors and community members helped rebuild that home for the family. What caused that neighbor to do that? What drove him to leave the warmth of his own bed, the comfort of his own bed, and sleep out in somebody else's lawn? Or wasn't this neighbor busy enough in his own life? I'm sure he had plenty of things to do. But he gave up every single minute of his time then to help that other family. Is it foolishness? Holy foolishness. There was a seminarian. As part of her seminary class, she was assigned to a local rural parish just to get a feel for the ministry within a church. One of her assignments in that church then was to go visit those who were homebound. And one lady in particular she connected with, a Mrs. Higgins. And Mrs. Higgins was interesting, but as the seminarian talked to some of the other parishioners, she found out more about the story of Mrs. Higgins. Mrs. Higgins became a widow during World War II. Her husband was killed in action, leaving her with three preschool children at home. Eventually, Mrs. Higgins remarried, but her husband drank heavily and did not hold down a job for very long. And so Miss Higgins had to raise her own children. She worked grueling hours as a nurse, many times as double shift. She cared for her kids. She also cared for her husband then in his terminal illness. She had an immaculately clean house. She also spent time volunteering for Meals on Wheels and at the local library. Mrs. Higgins, as that seminary went and visited her, was worn out. She had literally used up her life in helping others. Soon after the seminarian went back to school, Mrs. Higgins did die. And in her last act, she actually helped somebody else because she donated her corneas so a young man who had lost his through disease was able to see again. Why did she do it? Why did she wear out her life in raising her kids, in taking care of her sick husband, volunteering for others? What drove her? Is it foolishness? Holy foolishness. If you think about it, Christianity does not make a whole lot of sense, especially in our society that says, take care of yourself, take care of your own, take care of your own family. Watch out for others so that they don't hurt you. In our God, in his foolishness, is wiser than the wisdom of humanity. God was able to take what was cruel, what was unjust, what was vicious, which was violent. And God was able to use that. God was able to turn that around. He sent his only son into this world who suffered all of those things. And he turned that around for our salvation. God conquered death. Nobody could see that taking place. But for us as Christians, We believe. Foolishness, holy foolishness, our salvation. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.